All right. We in this bitch, man. Episode 187, man. Thin line between genius and insanity. It's a whole lot of shit going on, man. Let's go ahead and get right into it. I got a lot to say and not a lot of time to get that shit off my chest, man. Let's go and hop right into it. You dig?
Welcome to Raw!
You know my name. I know why you came. DJ, hit me!
Damn, hit the cha-cha on the beat. I hit the cha-cha on the beat. I hit the cha-cha. I hit the cha-cha on the beat. I hit the cha-cha. I hit the cha-cha on the beat. Look at the hips. Oh, look at the hips. Damn.
Yes, sir. What's poppin' with y'all? Welcome back to another motherfucking episode of the Thin Line Between Genius and Insanity podcast, hosted by yours truly. OG, you know, spin that fucking block. You see me, man? Do you see the boy? It is good close up. Oh my God. It's me. It's him. The guy, the greatest of all time. OG, man. Just left the bar. Bert, what does that mean?
Wow.
Panties are wet. Driving with the windows down, letting them see me.
Wow.
You know how I give it up, man. Let them know your boy's always
been. For the bitches, nigga.
Let them know your boy's the fly is high, as cool, as smooth, as host of them all. Oh, gee. Hash, what the fuck it is, man. What's poppin' with y'all? I'm over there looking good, feeling good, staying safe. There's a whole lot of shit going on. I'm dressed, man. Each and every episode. So shout out to everybody around the world that's tapping and joining the conversation, man. I truly appreciate all the love and support, man. Keep us empire break by motherfucking me break. Tell a friend that OG Hash got a motherfucking me show. Let's get this shit in the right hands, man. I want to shout out to everybody that's tapped in on DSPs, man. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, etc. Audio Mac. We pulling up like Curry in that bitch, man. Numbers are fantastic. If you watch this on YouTube, OG Hash TV, ring that bell, man. Leave a comment, subscribe to the channel, all that good shit to YouTube. Say, I'm so whole lot of shit I get off my motherfucking meat chest, man, but not a lot of time to do it. Shortly here, I gotta start getting ready for work, man. So I wanted to make sure I came here and tapped in with the motherfucking me folks, man. You know, besides me sitting here looking, you know, like Mr. Steal Your Girl, no Trey Songz.
Wow,
Trey Songz. How do you go from Mr. Steal Your Girl to actually Mr. Steal Your Girl? Like, that's
wow.
That's kind of crazy. Like, the nigga that he's being accused of. Oh my. Never would have thought it. But that's the thing about the industry, man. You know, the thing about the industry is, man, there's a lot of accusations that get thrown around, man. And a lot of times, man, accusations, they stand the test of time. You know, all of my life, I've heard some wild shit about, you know, Sean Combs, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Diddy, Puffy, whatever the fuck his name, and the man of many names. The man of many names has been accused of a lot of the similar things. You know, I will be foolish if I didn't jump right into this P. Diddy and Cassie situation. So let's go ahead and get right into it, man. Let's give the people what the fuck they want, man. You know, news had dropped that P. Diddy was being sued by Cassie. Cassie was suing P. Diddy with allegations of him raping her, abuse, physically and emotionally, holding her hostage, kidnapping, all types of shit. And I think it's important to sit here and say that. Remember I came on this podcast weeks ago and we was talking about Diddy, you know, giving the rights back to all his artists. And I came on here and I said, is Diddy playing the game? Didn't I tell y'all how it was a rough time for Diddy? Like, you had the footage of Diddy getting pulled over by the police officer. He was getting spicy with the cop and shit like that. He's talking crazy when the cop walked away. I came on this podcast and I sat here and I said, yo, it's a wild time for Diddy right now. Keefe D Head got locked up. Niggas was trying to tie Diddy to the Tupac murder. It was a wild fucking time for P. Diddy. Wild fucking time. It went from him having a young, hot motherfucking me, you know what I'm saying, Sugar Baby and Young Miami, to everything turning on him to this nigga looking like a very bad motherfucking guy. And I came on this podcast and I said, when he was giving him all those publishing rights back and all that shit, I came on her and I said, it seems to me Diddy's playing the game. Diddy's getting out ahead of something. I didn't know what the fuck it was. I didn't know Diddy was finna get sued for Cassie for allegedly raping her. And shit. Wow. I didn't know that was gonna take place. But I've been around for a long time, bro, and I've been paying attention to a lot of shit for a long time. And to be honest with you, sometimes all it takes is common fucking sense. But I've been around long enough on this earth to know common sense just ain't that motherfucking common.
Wow.
So I seen the plays being put in place. I seen niggas starting to play chess. I seen niggas starting to play the game. And when you get news that Cassie's suing this man, I gotta be honest with you. I recognize Diddy's with Young Miami. I recognize motherfucking me Diddy and J-Lo. And all my life, I remember Diddy being with motherfucking me Cassie. But for some strange reason, when Diddy stopped being with Cassie, I swear to God, my nigga, Cassie just fell off the face of the earth and I never really thought about her ever again. Diddy had really, he had successfully closed that chapter of his life and put that shit away on some smooth shit. I don't think motherfuckers ever talked about Diddy and Cassie as a couple ever again. They recently broke up. Like, what was it, like 2019, 2020, 2021 type shit? It was some recent shit. We talked about the Kim Porters. We talked about him and J-Lo. We talked about him pissing on Young Miami. For some strange reason, that chapter of his life, we always just skipped over. We all knew that shit was there. That I couldn't tell you who Kim Porter was growing up. I'm just now seeing pictures of this woman and be like, oh, okay, Kim Porter. I knew who Cassie was because of Diddy the whole time. So to have her had these allegations is wild. When this hit the net, the shit hit the net. And when this hit the net, for some reason, everything else, all those other rumors, all those other stories that motherfuckers was telling over the years, not in private, that they was telling on the Breakfast Club, and they was telling on all these other huge platforms by credible sources. When I say credible sources, I'm not saying reporters. I'm not saying fucking, you know what I'm saying, platforms like MSNBC. I'm saying from rappers, from people that actually was in these experiences with Puff Daddy, P Daddy, Puffy, Sean Diddy Combs, whatever the fuck this nigga named, the man of many fucking names.
Wow.
All these people who had these interactions with Puff Daddy came on fucking national platforms and said these wild ass stories. And we all in the moment be like, that was some wild ass shit. We remember the Fabulous shit with him calling Fabulous Daddy. We remember that shit. We see all the old pictures of him in these gladiator suits and shit looking fucking crazy as fuck. We know about all the fucking the motherfucking ties he got to Keefe D and the murder of Tupac. We know about all this shit. But for some strange reason, none of that shit really grew legs and walked on his own. But now when Cassie dropped this motherfucking me lawsuit towards this nigga, it's like all that shit just came with it. All that baggage just came motherfucking me with it. Now it should be open. It should be out and open to say that Cassie and Diddy did sell this lawsuit in 24 hours.
Wow.
I gotta be honest, I've never seen nothing like that. I'm seeing people like DJ Vlad. I'm seeing people that's been in the industry for 20 plus years saying they've never seen a settlement that fast. That fucking fast? Look, brother, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not the type of nigga to believe somebody's guilty just because somebody's throwing accusations at somebody. Now, if somebody's throwing accusations and shit makes sense to me, then that's another motherfucking me thing. But it's entirely different when a motherfucker throw accusations on somebody and we all believe those accusations, and the person that's being accused settles with the accuser in less than 24 fucking hours of the fucking lawsuit being public.
Wow.
Nobody's ever seen that. I don't know if that clearly says a nigga's guilty or not. I don't know if that is as close as word as bond as a nigga needs. But that damn sure don't scream innocent. You know that saying where they say where there's smoke, there's fire? God damn it, that right there. When you settle that fucking fast, nigga, where there's smoke, there's fire. It ain't a goddamn cigarette, nigga. That shit is wild to me that he settled that fast. And I'm not saying that that's not the smart thing to do. Because there was also, and there's also reports, and I think I heard it from DJ Academics, that she was suing this man for $30 million. And he tried to settle with her for $10 million. And she declined the settlement. So if she declined the $10 million when this shit was in private, how much money do you think he gave this motherfucking me woman? Now that everybody in the world know what the fuck was going on with these freak-offs.
Wow.
This nigga was having freak-offs with the bitch. It was her 29th birthday. He surprised her, popped up. Allegedly, this is all allegedly. Popped up and surprised on her 29th birthday. Took her from her 29th birthday and had her in a fucking freak-off.
Wow.
What the fuck is this? I'm not even finna sit here and say I understand a nigga having a freak-off, because that shit, that whole scenario is some shit I never understand. That voyeurism shit, I don't even click on that subject when I'm searching for porn, my nigga. I ain't even know what the fuck that was. But you so fucking fucked up in the head that you can't even let Shorty enjoy her birthday with her friends? You take her from her nice, positive, peaceful environment to go have her swallow inches of dick? You crazy, my nigga. You're crazy. You're crazy. Allegedly. But it's crazy that nobody motherfucking me thinks this shit is false. Nobody that read this lawsuit, because I read the entire thing. I read all the accusations. Nobody that read this or heard this thought any of this shit was a lie. Because it coincides with everything we've heard about motherfucking me P. Diddy over the years. The timelines match up with him lashing out, going off on other motherfuckers. The timeline lashes out with him going on interviews and other platforms talking about him being a dark time. When he went on stage, he shouted out Cassie for being with him during the dark times. What was the dark times?
Wow.
Was it these fucking freak-offs? Was it you punching her in the fucking face? Was it this shit? When you were shouting out people talking about thank you for keeping you out, keeping you free. Keep you free of what, nigga?
Wow.
Free of jail from beating a bitch the fuck down? Remember that report? Remember when he got in trouble? When his son played, what was his son playing at? UCLA or somebody? UCLA or USC? It was one of those teams. And his son was on the football team. And you had that story about P. Diddy, you know what I'm saying, going after the coach with a fucking, a cowbell?
With a
cowbell? He was going after the nigga with the cowbell? Remember, all this shit is during that time frame. We've heard so many stories about Diddy punching and slapping Drake, punching on J. Cole. We've heard all these stories about P. Diddy lashing out, and it all ties into this same time frame, or this same motherfucking me time frame of Cassie at Legend, that he was doing this wicked ass shit to her. And you got so many people that signed so many things to P. Diddy that is fucking crazy. Now, if you want to tie up, I'm not going to get into the whole Keefy D, if he got ties to Keefy D. Look, from what I understand, him and Keefy D never even had a conversation. If you never had a conversation with a nigga, that's some he say, she say shit. At that point. But when you talk about this woman that was on your arm for all these years. You seen women talking about, was Cassie doing this shit for clout? You had a woman on your arm for all these years. To the point that even women was doubting her. But not one man that read that shit doubted that shit. Women doubted that shit because they seen her on your arm for all those fucking years. But when you got accusations like that and you settle that fucking fast, brother, because I got a platform and I ain't got no money and I ain't trying to get sued, I ain't gonna sit here and say you're guilty. I ain't gonna say that. But I damn sure ain't for sure and say your ass is innocent. Surviving Diddy is a motherfucker. If this shit is true, surviving Diddy is a motherfucker. Because all that brother love shit, all that peacemaker bullshit you was doing with them publishing shit, motherfuckers are starting to see through all that shit. And if motherfuckers start to you having ties to Tupac's murder really start to grow legs in the public. Because we know legally ain't nothing gonna happen to you, but if the public start to really latch on to that, Because that's all it takes for motherfuckers to start really seeing you as a victim. I mean, as a villain, I'm sorry. And motherfuckers really latch, take this Cassie shit and apply the pressure they truly deserve, what you selling this fast. But that's the thing, what you selling this fast, it throws that question mark on the situation. Is this just a businessman trying to dead the noise before it, brings damage to his other businesses, his property, his bottom line, and shit like that. We see it happen all the time in sports. Is this just a person like Diddy stopping that noise from going on? Because there has been reports also that Diddy wants to buy these teams. And there's no way in hell Diddy's going to be able to buy these teams if this is the news that's going on. If this is the storyline that people remember about you. So we've seen people settle fast to dead the noise. But this story was so big and so loud, so fast. It don't look good at all. Especially amongst your own motherfucking me people. It don't look good at motherfucking all, man. It truly motherfucking me don't. But I will say this. Because we've heard Diddy's ex-security say all these wild-ass stories about Diddy. He got these wild-ass accusations. I'm going to be honest with you. All my life, right? Growing up, there was entourages. And there was people who, had people in their entourage that went on to become stars of their own. Remember Farnsworth Bentley?
Wow.
At a time like this, I honestly want to know, what the fuck does Farnsworth Bentley got to say? Is Farnsworth dead? If Farnsworth is dead, RIP, let me make sure Farnsworth ain't dead while I'm talking shit, man. Let me make sure. This is all live, people. Hold on. This is all motherfucking me live. Farnsworth Bentley. Is this nigga still alive? Farnsworth, is you alive, nigga? Yes, it don't say it ain't got no death date, nigga. You still motherfucking me alive. You 49 years old. What the fuck does Farnsworth Bentley got said at a time like this?
Wow.
You held umbrellas for that nigga, nigga. You know exactly. If the security know all this freaky deaky, all this nasty shit about P. Diddy, nigga, you know something about P. motherfucking me Diddy. You know something. If Exhibit got stories, if everybody got these wild ass stories about being at these parties and all this shit with a nigga like Diddy, and it was niggas kissing and naked niggas swinging dicks, if all that shit was going down and they seen it, and they wasn't around that nigga 24/7, and he was that loosey-goosey with partying with people, that they seen that shit, you not finna sit here and tell me the nigga that was holding umbrellas for the nigga and getting his coffee ain't see some shit. Where the fuck is Farnsworth, man? Fuck that NDA. Fuck that NDA. I want to know what the fuck Farnsworth got to say. How much would DJ Vlad pay for that motherfucking interview, nigga?
Wow.
You got a Boosie talking about he getting $500K an interview. What the fuck would a nigga pay for Farnsworth right now? Because you got to understand, fam. Diddy is on the level, if not way bigger than Russell Simmons. And we know about the shit Russell Simmons was being accused of. And goddamn it, what did Russell Simmons do? Russell Simmons left the fucking country, nigga.
Wow.
Russell Simmons, I don't even know what the fuck he is. Is he in Belize or some shit? Russell Simmons is somewhere doing some weird ass yoga. He be doing yoga, like, intertwined with niggas. They be, like, overlapping each other arms and bodies and shit. His fucking cheekbone be by a nigga hip bone and shit. Like, it be some wild yoga he be doing. And he be over there with, like, little teenage girls and shit. Like, I just seen the videos. Russell Simmons, he left the fucking country. If Russell left the country and Diddy settled like that in less than 24 hours, fam, that's some shit. So when you got niggas on that big of a motherfucking me level, bro, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What the fuck does Farnsworth know? Fuck that NDA. A nigga like Diddy, that nigga's a fucking, he's a mega star. It ain't too many niggas that is bigger than Diddy. Let's just keep it real. When it comes to music, entertainment, it's Quincy Jones, Diddy. You know what I'm saying? That's the list, my nigga. Bad Boys, Diddy, come on, my nigga. Fuck that NDA. I want to know exactly what the fuck Farnsworth Bentley know. I know that nigga knows something. Fuck all the bullshit. I ain't letting his ass escape free. Real talk. But moving on, man. You know, I want to get into Michael B. Jordan real fast, man. You know, I thought Michael B. Jordan caught a nice little W recently, because you had news come out that Damson Idris, hey, that's his name, Damson Idris, the nigga that on Snowfall, he broke up with Lori Harvey. Round of applause for him. That's enough. Reason why I get that round of applause, because as men, we have to understand and identify the women quickly who are the ones who are just for fun and the ones that actually have some substance. The ones who have the substance are the ones who you really envision having a baby with. You envision that vision of having a big house, the white picket fence, the dog running around, you know what I'm saying? Kids throwing frisbee or some shit. You on the grill. You know, like a Major Payne. Remember that scene from Major Payne when he envisioned the big house, the white picket fence, and the kids and shit? Every nigga has that moment when they come across a chick who actually has some substance. Those are the girls when it ends, you like, fuck, you know what I'm saying? It really was my fault type shit. And you try your best sometimes to spin that block. But the girls who are just for fun, a lot of times those are the girls who kind of look better than the girls who have substance. A lot of times those are the girls who are really motherfucking me freaking. A lot of times those are the girls who, you know what I'm saying, really be the ones you really be interested in. And it takes a lot of maturing to know that those girls are just for fun. And the reason why I applaud that for Damson Idris, because you need to know, as someone of his caliber, he's moved up extremely high in the hierarchy of African black actors. He's moved up entirely far and on that list. And when you have a woman like that who's been tied to so many men in a short amount of time, there's no way you can actually take this woman serious. There's no way you can do that. There's no way you can do that. Because in the back of your mind, you have to be thinking, this shit is just for fun for her as well. And I'm happy that he learned from Michael B. Jordan, because at the same time, yes, you're Damson Idris. You a star. You popping right now. Snowfall was the shit. At the same time, you got to be thinking, like, okay, bitch, what's the actual end goal here? What's the end game? Because a nigga like Michael B. Jordan, who is in my same field, who's on a much, much higher level than me, who was just fucking voted the most, who was on the cover being the most handsome man in the world type shit not too long ago, this same nigga you was just with and trying to propose to you, and you played that nigga publicly. It's kind of like the motherfucking Boston Celtics. Let me just switch it into sports for you. You know how they did Isaiah Thomas? How when his sister died, he went out there and he still played and put on performance. And then when he was hurt, he still went out there and played. And he kind of was fucked up after that. And you see how the Boston Celtics, they lowballed him. They traded him. They did his ass dirty. And you kind of notice that no star ever wants to go to Boston now. See, Jason Tatum and motherfucking me, Jaylen Brown, was drafted by them, my nigga. When Anthony Davis came up for trade, Anthony Davis' father came out and said, we will not be playing for Boston. When motherfucking me, Damian Lillard just came up for trade, he came out and said he does not want to play for Boston. There's been multiple stars over the years that have come out and said, we do not want to play for Boston because of what happened to Isaiah Thomas. Now, if you think I'm just happy, I'm tripping, I'm just trying, you know, I'm reaching, I'm trying to tie some shit together, go back and look at the motherfucking me history, fam. The same reason why the Lakers overpaid Kobe. When people said it wasn't a good thing, you take care of the players because other players are taking note and they see that shit. Yes, it's LA if people want to come to LA, but it's also the fucking Lakers. The Lakers are known for taking care of their players. We're known for that shit. We're still giving Bron max after max after max. AD underperformed. Max, my nigga, here you go. Other players look at that. And it's the same thing in the dating world. Lori Harvey, bitch, you running through teams. James Harden, you running through teams. Nigga, don't nobody trust you. The Clippers like, you know what? Fuck it. You know, I'm desperate. Fuck it. I ain't. There's some injuries like, you know what? Fuck it. I ain't got no straight Hollywood industry pussy. Nah, fuck it. The bitch is bad. Come on, bitch. Let's go on a date. The Clippers, fuck it. We do got Russell. That nigga can't shoot. Fuck it, James. Come on. It's the same shit. It's the same shit. Now watch what the contract extension for James Harden be. It won't be no fucking max. It won't be that. The same way when it came to the extension of a relationship with Dancer Idris and Lori Harvey, it damn sure wasn't no fucking engagement or wedding.
Wow.
He's not Michael. And the time I thought Michael would be Jordan took a W, man. I feel bad for this nigga, bro. I don't know what he got to do, man. You know, news came out about Michael B. Jordan, man. It was Nick Cannon's ex. His baby mama. Nick Cannon's baby mama was on one of those shows, man, where it's like a bunch of celebrities and their wives and their couples. I'm sorry, their significant other and stuff like that. And they just spill the beans about certain shit. They strapped to a lie detector and stuff like that. They just get asked some wild, raunchy questions sometimes. And the host, who I'm assuming is a little bit, you know, probably like Dick a little bit. I don't know. The host is a man. He asked, what was Michael B. Jordan like in bed? If I'm remembering this right, let me see if I can play this right fast. Man, I don't want to get hit with no ad real fast.
Is Michael B. Jordan good in bed? I kind of want to know for myself.
Amanda wants to know.
This is a man.
My whole past.
I'm going to be in so much trouble. No. Oh!
Wow.
Jesus Christ. Lots of the man said the shit was true. I feel bad for Michael B. Jordan, man. Look, I'm a dude, so I don't really give a fuck about stories about a nigga sex game or nothing like that. But as a dude, as a man, I feel bad for Michael B. Jordan because Michael B. Jordan, bro, I've never heard any good stories about Michael B. Jordan from any woman that's ever had an interaction with Michael B. Jordan.
Wow.
I've never heard. You had the chicks who on that podcast who said they went to fucking school with Michael B. Jordan. I talked about it on the podcast. I said the nigga was corny as fuck in high school. He was corny as fuck back in school. You gotta think. I understand why a nigga could be deemed corny if he focused on his grind. But that nigga was a childhood. He was in movies and shit as a child. I don't understand how you could be corny and how you not fucking some bitches. You know, bitches don't know you that nigga, and you fuck on The Wire and you in all these other movies as a fucking kid. But I digress. You got the Lori Harvey situation playing out in public, him looking goofy as fuck at basketball games, sitting next to fucking Corday. You had that situation play out. Every time he runs to Steve Harvey, him and Steve Harvey hug and embrace, and he still look tight. He still looks sad and shit. And every motherfucker me 6 weeks, you got a bitch coming out from the past talking about this nigga's sex game was horrible. It's like from afar, when you look at the Michael B. Jordan situation, I remember a few years ago, it was just, what, 2-3 years ago? When Nicki Minaj and shit was fangirling all over the nigga. When every woman in the world, when he hit on the scene, what was that, Black Panther, Creed or some shit? When all that shit first came out, Michael B. Jordan was that nigga. We talk about the babies fall off. The Michael B. Jordan fall off needs to be discovered. And it's not because he's still not putting in work. Creed 3 just came out not too long ago. His fall off is about everything not acting. I said the nigga not the best actor in the world, but he not falling off because he in bomb ass movies or some shit like that. The perception of Michael B. Jordan is falling off because the bitches don't love him no more. Like, that's the fucked up part. That's happening to fucking Michael B. That's his longevity. His fall off should truly be motherfucking be studied, bro. That shit is an all-time high record. That was fast-paced. This nigga was just both the sexiest man in the world. Now all the bitches don't like him. They said he got a weak dick. His bitch played him in public. She left him for a nigga that's worse that his job is at worse at his job than him. Man, free that nigga Michael B, man. Free that nigga Mike B, man. Let's keep this shit moving, man. What we got next, man? Megan, let's get into Meg real fast. You know, you got the Megan Thee Stallion and Partisan Fontaine shit going on. You know, I came on here and I've been talking about Megan Thee Stallion, man. I told you she's gonna have a very big comeback. Everybody was wanting to know what she had to say. She's in the middle of her rollout right now. She dropped a single. I told you how I felt about it. It was blah type shit. But she was talking about some. Yes, she had some substance. It wasn't like the rest of this girl rap right now, just talking about how good they pussy is and they booty hole being brown type shit. She actually was talking about some shit that everybody was kind of hoping she was talking about. But in the midst of her talking about that shit, she talked about the nigga Parson Fontaine. She talked about walking in on dude, getting some dome type shit in the bed that she slept in, all types of shit like that. When that shit came out, when I heard that shit, I'm going to be honest with you. It wasn't what I was expecting. Because at a time where everybody's expecting you to be talking about the nigga that shot you, nobody really gives a fuck about you talking about the nigga that you walked in on getting some fucking head. And that's when in my mind I was like, you gotta hold your fucking horse. You want me to believe that first you got shot, now you coming home and the nigga that was with you, supporting you, championing you through all the bullshit, the nigga that was getting feminist tattoos and shit because of you, you walked in on him getting some fucking guac 3000. There's a certain thought. I can't believe everything. And I'm not going to lie, I don't know if I took that part out of the episode or not, because I did feel bad. I did feel mighty motherfucking me bad when I said that, because at a certain point, I was like, you know what? I'm like the other motherfuckers who just not believe in everything she said. But it was just something about her saying she walked in on that nigga that just didn't sit well with me. So I decided to shut the fuck up, and I sat back, and I was just hoping that music did what music did. She mentioned him in the song. I would just have my fingers crossed, my toes crossed. I had everything fucking crossed, hoping he responded. And God damn it, the party isn't over, bitch.
Wow.
Party responded. And I want to play a little bit of the song. I'm not going to play the whole bit, the whole song, because it is a little bit long. I want to play a little bit of the song right here. Let's go get right to it, party.
There. You talk shit like you Keisha, then cry like a Karen. Fuck awards that you want, money you got, clothes that you wear. A whole lot happened in these last 2 years, but this is the part that you share.
My point exactly. Bitch, you got shot by a nigga. You got shot by a nigga. The entire industry changed on you. You know what I'm saying? This nigga's on trial. This nigga got leaked phone calls. You and your fucking best friend both fucking on the same nigga. When apparently your best friend is fucking with one of the niggas that got major clout at the label you at. All this shit that's going on. And this the part that you sharing? That you walked in on this nigga to get in some head? Not that he was supporting you, not he was championing you, that he was getting you back on your fucking feet. All that shit that happened to you, that's what you wanted to talk about? But I digress. Let's keep it going, party.
Don't you tell the whole truth. You was going through shit, how I hold you. It's gonna be okay, is what I told you. I was the realest nigga you was close to. That's real. The people that know you don't love you. The people that love you don't know you. I loved you a lot, I was vocal. Said you never seen it up close. I said, come here, baby, let me show you. Sit down for a second, girl, you need to hear this. Be for real, you ain't even realistic. Got light pulled and you started posting gym pics.
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
That's
wow.
No.
Man, I fell down to my knees when the law came.
Is party saying that Meg Thee Stallion got lipo?
Wow. Wow.
My nigga. Nah. Okay, I know this is going against everything I've said in the last 5 minutes about Meg Thee Stallion. How, you know, she lying about certain shit. I refuse to believe that ass is a lipo booty. I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that body is a lipo body. I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that. She ain't taking ass. She ain't taking fat out of nothing and injecting it in shit. She ain't taking fat out. She ain't cutting no fucking fat out of her. Nah, I'm not Meg. No. I'm not letting you do that. I'm not letting you do that. Niggas have given her so much motherfucking me love and support for having a natural body. There's no way you finna tell me this bitch got lipo. And she and this motherfucker act like she in the gym going crazy. This bitch still eating fucking hot Cheeto concoctions. You finna tell me this bitch doing lipo? Oh, nah, man. No. But I understand where party's coming from. There's more on that song that he goes into. He come. He talks about him finding out she was fucking on all these other niggas when the world did that. She wasn't even keeping it real with him. He like she lied to him, like she lied to Gayle King, yes. And you know, it's funny because, in all honesty, man, in relationship, people just want to be. People want to be in the know. Like I've noticed that, you know, what I'm saying in my personal life, I noticed that from being on the outside looking in. That a lot of times people just want to be in, they don't want to be made a fool of. So if they in the know of some shit and they know some shit's going on, and that's just how the dynamics of the relationship is going, a lot of times they can be okay with that. They just don't want to be made a fool of. And when things, and it just depends on if that's some type of shit you can get down with. Me personally, fuck no, I'm not with that shit. I have feelings, I have emotions, I have all that shit. And my shit will be deeply hurt if the person I'm with, the person I'm loving, the person I'm putting all my all into is fucking cheating and fucking other people. I don't have the mindset. I don't have the strength to be able to bypass those emotions just because the other person wants to do that. If you want to do that, then we just can't be together. And I will understand that if a woman expect that. If a woman wanted that from me as well, I will understand that. But I don't understand how this man can be with you, help you through all these emotions, help you be when everybody, when the industry's throwing all these darts at you, when the public fan bases, the media, everybody is calling you a liar. It was one person that we all identified was in your corner. It was one person. It was Parson Fontaine. You posting all these pictures, putting your ass in his face while he playing the game. Everybody was taking y'all pictures and saying couple goals. Y'all in the club. Through all this tough fucking tornadoes of trauma and media hysteria, people talking shit to you. It would be moments of y'all in the club, you know what I'm saying, blocking out the noise and blocking out everybody. You know what I'm saying? Either making out, you know what I'm saying, dancing with each other. Everybody would be taking those videos and those moments of y'all acting like those were goals that they wanted with their significant other. So on the times of you getting shot, you healing, you fighting motherfucking me media, and the times when it was you against the world damn near, basically, there was one person in your corner. And I'm not saying that even if that shit is true, him you walking in on dude getting some fucking Guac 3000, I'm not saying you should bypass that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, before you start downing that nigga about that shit, where is the champion of him being there for you? I've yet to hear that. I've yet to hear it. I'm not saying that niggas do shit for motherfucking me, you know what I'm saying, favors or things in return. But everything I just said about him being there for you and him being there, you know, those moments of you getting your mind, your mind off certain shit, of you being against the entire world, I've never once heard Meg Thee Stallion acknowledge that. And if she has, I just haven't seen it. But I've never seen or heard her acknowledge that. If you can acknowledge those moments and those pivotal moments and pivotal times of your career and your life, and then you can talk shit about this quote-unquote allegation, which he says is a goddamn lie, then I'd be all for it. But until then, I just can't believe, because it's too much motherfucking me attention-grabbing headline and shit. It's becoming fucking reality television with Meg Thee Stallion at this point. And it's interesting because a lot of people are believing Party right now, right? And to be completely honest with you, I believe Party. But I don't know if I believe Party because the allegation is fact-based or because the fucking song is fire.
Wow.
That's a good fucking song, man. Like, let's play some more of it.
The things that you're doing is sadistic. Spent 4 hours doing glam, not a blemish. But your foundation is off, you need to fix it. Clean up your spirit and not just your image. I thought that's what you was doing with your downtime.
Damn.
When a snake shed his skin, it only changed on the outside. You got emotional hurdles. Man, the work that you need is internal. When love goes bad, can't believe it. Archive pics, you can't delete it. Damn, see me with Jada Kingdom, and then you went Jada Pinkett.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Wow.
The song is fucking fire, man. The song is fucking fire. I don't know if the shit he's saying is really fucking true. If the shit is really hitting home with her, hitting the core with her because it's fact-based. But I know as somebody who just enjoys music, the song is fucking fire. And a lot of times when the song is actually fire, people tend to side with whoever has the hottest song. And her song, yeah, that's cool. But this song, people call this a motherfucking Meshitta 2.0. And I don't want this to become a fucking back and forth between Party and fucking Meg Thee Stallion. But I'm all for him responding to her fucking using him as fucking dirt as a fucking stepping stool as her motherfucking me huge comeback. I'm all for it. Capitalize off a motherfucker trying to capitalize off you, my nigga. But it is interesting to see that people are really siding with this nigga. I don't know if it's because it's just fun or easy to stop, go against Meg Thee Stallion right now, or really because that song is fucking fire. I'm interested to fucking know, because me personally, if that song was whack, I wouldn't have been able to hear the actual shit he was saying. I would have to be trying to read lyrics or some shit, and who the fuck is going to be doing that? So with that song being fire, I ain't gonna lie, it made me kind of believe a lot of that shit. And I already told you, I believe she sucked Blueface dick. I seen her laying in bed, getting her fucking jawbone sucked on by that white boy. What was that white rapper name, man? What was that fucking white rapper name, bro? It was like a few years ago. He was like the 8 white rapper before Jack Harlow type. I don't even know that nigga name, but she was getting her fucking jawbone sucked on by that nigga a few years ago. So I believe she sucked Blueface dick. And I believe she fucking lying about this. So I don't know. I still believe Tory shot her, but I don't know, man. It's getting harder and harder to believe this Meg Thee Stallion, bitch. It truly motherfucking is, man. But moving on. You know, I want to get into this nigga Russell Westbrook right fast, man. You know, I love the game of basketball, man. I've been working a lot, man. I've been missing out on a lot of games. And these last couple of days, I've been off from my second job, so I've been trying to catch up on some games and stuff like that. These in-season tournament, I finally got a glimpse of them ugly-ass courts and stuff like that. But since I haven't been watching a lot of these games, I've been, tapping in with First Take and ESPN, just trying to see the big headlines of what's going on in the NBA. And one thing that happened that I came across, that I wasn't sure if I had a fucking deja vu moment. I wasn't sure if I was just high and tripping. But I seen some news talking about Russell Westbrook coming off the bench.
Wow.
I seen some news about Russell Westbrook playing all the fourth quarter, and then at the 5-minute mark, him looking over at Ty Lue, and Ty Lue taking him out the game.
Wow.
And in those moments, I was having these deja vu moments like, what the fuck? Is Russ back on the Lakers? Was I just asleep this whole time? Was this a dream? Did we not go to the Western Conference Finals without this nigga? But then I was like, no, he is with the Clippers. He is being coached by Ty Lue. And yet and still, he's coming off the goddamn bench.
Wow.
You know, last year when he played for the Lakers, it only took like 5 games before we realized. It was either 3 or 5 games before we put that nigga on the bench, right? I believe at the point in time when the Clippers put him on the bench, it was at like what, 5-5, like 10 to 12 games into the season. I believe when they started taking him out the game for the last 5 minutes of the game, he was around the 9th or 10th game of the season mark. Around the same time the Lakers were doing it. And yet and still, the Lakers are a much, much popular organization. They get the media. They get the glitz and the glamour. They get the fan base talking. They get the barbershop talks and all that good shit, right? Yet and still, far less media coverage, far less people who actually give a fuck about the Clippers, far less pressure, far less expectation to actually be anything. Yet and still, this nigga gotta come off the bench. Yet and still, this nigga can't finish the fucking game.
Wow.
See, look, it's something that Ty Lue realized. And it's something the Clippers realized. Mans can't fucking shoot. People champion this nigga for doing backup center shit. He plays with passion. He plays hard. He has so much aggression, so much attitude. They said the same shit about Marcin Gortat. They used to say the same shit about backup big man back in the day. He rebounds phenomenally. He has attitude, aggression. He's a leader of the team. That's like a backup center, my nigga. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I love Russell Westbrook. I'm a fan of Russell Westbrook. I realized this shit like 5-6 years ago, fam. I was like, you know what? He's not a player you can win with because he has to have the ball. He can only look good on a team full of fucking bum ass niggas like the OKC team after Kevin Durant left, like the fucking Washington DC team. He only fucking looks good on bum ass teams, on teams with young players who really don't have a fucking name for themselves, who look up to him as the fucking driving force. When you got a team and you got other talent on the team, who you know good and goddamn well should have the ball in their hand, that nigga's obsolete. He's not a factor. He can't shoot. People talking about him playing hard. He doesn't play hard on defense, bro. He doesn't. He just doesn't. He may get a surprise block every once in a while, but he's not locking shit up. He's not sitting in the chair for no fucking body. He's not doing it. And I fucking like the guy. I felt bad when they traded for James Harden. But I told you this shit was going to happen. He's going to be coming off the bench. Now, that's cool, the little media twist they're trying to put on it. You know, for the Lakers, it was just, you know, hey, my nigga, you got to come off the bench. We're going to keep it real with you. You coming off the bench, my nigga. Now, with the Clippers, it's Russell Westbrook volunteered to come off the bench.
Wow.
Did you, nigga? You mean to tell me you sat back and was like, you know what? It gotta be me. No shit, nigga. No fucking shit. No fucking shit. That's like when you was in school and the fucking report cards and shit was coming out and you knew good and goddamn well not to ask for shit because you knew you had some F's on that goddamn report card. You knew what the fuck it is. You know what time it is. You know to go home and just pull your goddamn pants down and bend over and expect a goddamn lashing. You know what fucking time it is, nigga. But I just think that's funny that that's going on. And I feel bad for a nigga, man. The man's playing for $3 million, man. If we had Russell Westbrook, if we had him for $3 million, I would feel good about it. I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't feel bad about it no more. When you're paying that nigga more than you play LeBron James and Anthony Davis, fuck no. When he's getting paid $50 million, fuck no. You hitting the side of it. Fuck no. I'm sorry. Fuck no. But $3 million, he was giving the Clippers a lot for $3 million. And to see him being put on the bench, to see him doing all this shit. Now, the Clippers did win their last game. Harden and Kawhi and Paul George all had 23, 24, and 25, I believe it was. Harden hit a big-time clutch shot at the end. But it was against the Houston Rockets. And also, when you look deeper into the stat box, you seen Russell Westbrook had like 8, 4, and 6 type shit. I'm telling you right now, my nigga, that shit's not going to last long. I'm telling you right now, everything is cool. The moment them niggas lose, the Clippers can win three straight, right? The moment they lose, I'm telling you right now, shit is going to be up. The same shit happened with the Lakers last year. When we put that nigga on the bench, we had won like five of our next 6 games. The moment them niggas lost by like double digits, oh my fucking God. That nigga Russ was like, this shit ain't working. I can do more. And everything just went up in fucking smoke. It ain't going to work, man. And I feel bad for nigga because he don't deserve that. It was a desperate move. But it's a desperate move because they realized the same shit the Lakers realized. He is not a nigga that you can win a championship with him being your starting point guard. It's going to be hard playing. It's going to be hard to win a championship playing Russell Westbrook. Because, yes, he may hustle and get you some rebounds. Yes, he may fucking stat. His stats may be close to a triple-double. But he's going to have negative minutes on the court. He's going to have some lapses on defense. He's going to have turnovers. He's going to have niggas getting out of fucking rhythm because he's holding the fucking ball. Everything is going to be fucked up with both. Everything. His fucking energy alone. His energy and his presence alone brings niggas down. Niggas don't have confidence when they on the court with Russell Westbrook. The only people that do is fucking two-year, three-year players who don't nobody know. Niggas who are established, niggas who are trying to win championships, when that nigga check in the game, you do not feel confident. The fan bases do not feel confident with this nigga in the game. That trickles down, bro. And it's fucked up, but that's just where that nigga is at in his career right now. That's truly where that nigga's at, and it's truly fucked up. But moving on, man, before we get the fuck up out of here. You know, I was at the barbershop, right? And you know, I'm in there. You know how niggas at the barbershop. That's one thing about the barbershop, man. You go to a barbershop on the weekend, niggas is in there. It was early, like 10:30 in the morning, so you know it's kind of packed, man. Mixed crowd, old heads, young heads, kids, all types of shit. We in there just chopping up, talking shit, man. And I'm not going in there talking. I'm like, you know, man, I think LeBron is the greatest motherfucking me athlete of all time. And some of the wildest shit was spewed back at me, bro. I never heard in my life, man. It was from a gentleman who was probably about the age of 52, 53, 54, 55. He looked me dead in my eyes and said, bro, LeBron James sacrificed Bronny.
Wow.
Everybody was sitting there like, man, how the fuck LeBron James known for putting all this money into his body and his fucking son go out there and have a goddamn me. You know what I'm saying? What was that? What was that shit that Bronny had? What was that shit that Bronny had? It wasn't a heart. Was it a heart attack? It was something. It was something like a heart attack. And it was like, how the fuck could that happen to LeBron, son? LeBron put all that money into his body. You saw me put all that money into your kids. And I was sitting there and I was in disbelief because I couldn't believe that a nigga had said that to me, especially a nigga of this age. Then I had to sit back and think, man, conspiracy theorists are conspiracy theorists. But when you a conspiracy theorist towards a nigga's, well, give a fuck, towards the niggas give a fuck about his kids and his kids' well-being, that's a special type of nigga. And after something like, bro, LeBron didn't sacrifice no fucking Bronny, man. You got to understand that these kids nowadays, they didn't grow up how we grew up. Nigga, I played three sports. I played football, I wrestled, and I did track and field. That's not even counting the shit I did out in the yard with my homeboys, playing killer, man, playing motherfucking me baseball, playing motherfucking me basketball all motherfucking me day, in the streets, in the gyms, football, in the streets, at downhills. It didn't fucking matter. I grew up totally different than these kids are today. For a nigga like Bronny, you got to understand, Bronny's been living a fucking damn near pro athlete schedule his whole fucking life. These kids start playing basketball young, man, 5 years old. And nowadays, these kids don't do what we did back in the day. A nigga that played basketball right now, and I'm talking about a nigga that played basketball, that got potential to go to the league, he don't do shit but play basketball. You know how a nigga used to play basketball, used to be the fucking quarterback. He used to play baseball. He probably ran a 100 to 200. He probably did hurdles, the high jump type shit. You don't have that no more. Nowadays, motherfuckers are training for specific sports. And nigga like Bronny, you gotta think, bro. I even heard LeBron complain about this shit. That these kids are doing high school, they doing their in season. You know what I'm saying? For a nigga like Bronny in high school, he's doing high school season. After that, he gotta do his fucking AAU. Then after that, you gotta go do your motherfucking the LeBron James camps and AAU, the other kid, the Adidas camps and all that shit. That shit is a year-round thing for them. And for a kid that be on a similar type schedule like that from the age of 5 to motherfucking me now, you what, 18, 19 years old, that nigga ain't developing like other kids. You need time before you can start just jumping straight into sports. A nigga in the shop was saying, like, nigga, a nigga playing sports at 5 years old at that high rate, their heart is not developing how our average, you know what I'm saying, human being heart would. That's why you always hear about these athletes developing athlete's heart. They heart be skipping a different motherfucking me beat because they get introduced to these sports and these ride rapid motherfucking me increments early on in life. And they pumping, they pumping, they pumping, heart just pumping because they training, 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 training. I'm not surprised by that shit, but I am. I did question, like, damn, y'all just now found out he got a cognitive heart problem. But it's great that they was in it, that it's LeBron James. They had the money and well-being to take care of that shit. But for niggas to be questioning if LeBron sacrificed his goddamn son, that shit is crazy to me, dog. That's crazy to me. That's why that was something I just hadn't heard yet. And when I heard that, when I was taken, I was blown the fuck away. I'll be honest with you. I was really blown the fuck away. But it's crazy though, man. I think Bron is. I truly think Bron's the greatest athlete of all time, man. I think right now, the way he's playing, we do need a little bit more help. Anthony Davis, I've given up on Anthony Davis, you know what I'm saying, being that guy offensively every game. Do I expect him to have a presence every game? Absolutely. Defensively, owning the paint, he's the best defender in the league, to be honest with you. He just never really plays the amount of games for people to actually give him that credit. But he's the best defender in the league to me. He cleans the paint up. He's a huge impact player on the defensive end. Offensively, he's just missing shots. He's in a slump. He goes into slumps often. I do think we need more. But I don't know if Zach LaVine is the answer. Everybody's going off name. I don't think Zach LaVine is worth Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, or Rui Hachimura. Not a combination of those two, and damn sure not all three. I just don't believe Zach LaVine does that, especially with somebody of that with that motherfucking history of injuries. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I like Zach LaVine. I've always liked Zach LaVine. I used to think him and Devin Booker was on the same level. I just think Zach LaVine needs to be in a different situation. I just don't think that the Lakers should give up all those pieces for Zach LaVine. Now, if you can get some pieces for like a piece or two, Gabe Vincent, a Christian Wood, you know what I'm saying? A motherfucking me, fucking D'Lo. I give you motherfucking me to give me Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan for that, but I'm not giving you Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, Torian Prince, picks, and all that shit for no motherfucking me Zach LaVine. Fuck that. Hell no. Hell fucking no. Hell no. Oh, it's not happening. But Lakers do need to get some help out there. LeBron, he out there putting down 30-point triple-doubles, man. He's out there doing things that, even if he was 23, 24, 25, would be amazing. To see him do these things at this age, at this pace, at this rate, at this high level of competition, there's no way you can look at that man and say that's not the greatest basketball player you've ever seen. If you just seeing this man at 39 years old doing these things doesn't simply put him as the greatest you've ever seen, you hating, my nigga. I'm a Kobe guy. And Kobe in his prime, I'm taking him. But the greatest, not my favorite, the greatest basketball player of all time is LeBron James. Every bucket this nigga scores is added on to his fucking NBA record of points. No one's ever gotten more buckets than this nigga, bro. And he's still going at a high fucking pace. Greatest motherfucking African American to ever live, man. Fuck it. I'm taking it. He's the fucking athlete. He's the greatest African American to ever motherfucking me live, man. LeBron Raymond James. I'm a fucking witness. I'm a fucking witness, man. Before we get the fuck up out of here, man, you know, I want to talk about something I came across. For the people around the world that don't know, I'm based out here in Phoenix, Arizona, Avondale, Arizona, to be exact. I'm like 10 minutes away from where the Phoenix Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals play the football game. And I came out here and I visited back in 08 when I was a kid. And my auntie lived out here, right? And one thing I noticed off jump was that Black people were the minority. There's a lot more white people and a lot more Mexicans out here, especially compared to St. Louis. When I came out here and I moved out here in 2013, went to college and came back officially since 2014, there was much more Black people, but there was also much more Mexicans and much more white people. One thing I noticed early on was that the same sex, some relationships that Black people like to champion, pretty much don't exist out here in Arizona. And it's not because niggas just don't like Black women no more. Black women just don't like, Black men anymore. No, it's not the case. It's just a numbers game. And that's something I realized, something I just come to accept, But when I came across these numbers, it heightened it. It made me think about it a little bit more. The Arizona demographics for 2023 is this. The Arizona demographics is white people make up 70% of the population.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
That's 70 motherfucking percent, bro. Two or more races is 10%. Other races, 6%. Black or African American is 4%. Native American is 4%. Asian is 3%. Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander is 0.2%. That two or more races is more than likely fucking black and white, or motherfucking me, Mexican and black, Mexican and white, more something like that. That other race, I'm pretty sure is just Mexican. I don't know why they don't have Mexicans on here, you know what I'm saying, just specifically, but one of those is clearly motherfucking me Mexican. But when I seen those numbers, it made me really think, like, that's why same-sex relationships just truly, I mean, not same-sex, same-race relationships truly are motherfucking me, that motherfucking me up prevalent out here in Arizona. Because you have a lot of people that's moving to Arizona. A lot of people are moving away because the cost of living out here is crazy. Like, the cost of living in Arizona is just as high as damn near California. Just as high as damn near LA, my nigga. It's damn near the same thing. But a lot of people are moving here from other motherfucking places, and not just within the country. You got fucking European women moving out here. You got all these motherfuckers moving to Phoenix. Why? I have absolutely no motherfucking clue. But everybody's moving here, and everybody's motherfucking intermingling with each other. And we all know how us brothers look, how us sisters look. We are fucking very motherfucking beautiful, and we are very attractive to other people. And we're dominating the motherfucking me population right now. When you get a 0.1% of black and you black. So we're pretty much taking over. But that is why it's heightened out here to where same race relationships just don't exist. And I can't even say I fell victim to it, but my last relationship was with a fucking Puerto Rican chick. So it's like down on the West Coast, period, but out here in Arizona, that shit is fucking is prevalent as fuck, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. Real talk. But I think that's all we motherfucking got, man. We're gonna leave it at that, man. I gotta start getting ready for motherfucking work. Honestly, we'll go over the documentary. We ain't missed nothing. We talked about Diddy. Diddy a wild motherfucking boy, man. Diddy, I ain't never seen niggas sue and settle in less than 24 hours. And for both parties to say we settled this shit amicably. Come on, man. Amicably? Come on, man. I mean, that nigga dropped a fucking bag. If she turned down 10 million, he had to give her like 50 fucking million, bro. I'm saying he gave her at least 50 million. Wire. Instantly. Boom. There you go. Enjoy the holidays, bitch. I'm pretty sure he gave that bitch 50 million, bro. That's a lot. That was an instant motherfucking me closed case for that nigga. That's some wild ass shit. We talked about Michael B. Jordan, his wild ass tension that he got with women. We talked about the media coverage of Russell Westbrook. We talked about Bronny being a sacrificial lamb for Bron. Oh my God. We talked about the Lakers go off to Zach LaVine. We talked about the Arizona demographics out here in 2023. We talked about everything, man. Yeah, we're going to go and wrap it up at that, man. Fuck it. You know I give it up this time, man. DJ, drop that fire ass beat, nigga. You know. Great episode, man. Episode 187, Thin Line Between Jeans and Sam. Hosted by yours truly. OG! You know what the fuck going on, man. I enjoyed coming here today, man. It's been a busy motherfucking me day. But like always, man, you know how the fuck I give it up, man. It's all of these ways. Never let them slide you with bullshit. Always keep the main thing. Stay safe, stay sharp, stay sane. And how's this episode, man? We out this motherfucker. Peace! I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't know what type of nigga P. Diddy is, but I can't say he's a good guy. I ain't gonna say he's a bad guy, but there's something there. And since there's something there, and since he sold that shit so fast with Cassie, he didn't refute, he didn't do shit. He didn't say none of this shit was not true. He didn't say nothing. That nigga just said, bitch, here's the money. I don't know if that's boss moves. I don't know if that's a nigga moving with money, knowing that money rules the world. I don't know what that is, man. But from my eyes, that shit don't look good at all. And I feel like it's not going to be the end of this shit, man. With him selling with that chick so fast, man. And like I said, if that shit's true, get her money. Give her all the money she motherfucking me deserve, nigga. She deserve all that shit. But since he's selling with her so fast, man. And I've never heard a good story about Diddy. I ain't saying I've heard bad stories. But every story I've ever heard about Diddy has been weird. And I know if that shit he did with her, that can't be the only chick he was having freak-offs with. Him selling that fast as pop. Look, man, the snakes is in the grass, nigga. Maybe that was a boss move selling with Shorty that fast, but that you ain't finna sit here and tell. That didn't alert everybody else that you probably did some shit to, allegedly. When them motherfucking me lawsuits start piling up on the niggas, he gonna be selling those fast too. We already know about he was trying to get them off to sign NDAs and he's trying to give them their publishing back. I'm just saying. This ain't the last we done heard from this P. Diddy situation, man. Surviving Diddy may very well be worse than surviving R. Kelly. Because these freak-offs is fucking crazy, bro. He had that bitch for 10 years. He had cash for 10 years. From 19 to 29, freak-offs every other day that lasted days? Man, RIP that pussy, man. Free Cassie, congratulations, Cassie, on getting that fucking bankroll. Hopefully, it motherfucking me helps you heal in a positive way. But with that being said, we out this motherfucker, man. Holla at y'all when I holla at y'all, man. Peace.
Welcome to Raw is
OG.
Hatch, man, you know the fuck that nigga playing with me, man.
You dig?